All right.
We just hit record and I'm actually super nervous.
We are back.
Back.
Back, baby.
Have you missed us?
Yeah. You guys, me and Stevie got into a huge fight.
What?
We fist fought and that's why the podcast
had to take- Everyone needed us some space.
We did. We had to go to court. Like, it was brutal. I had Lisa Trash as a lawyer and I won.
We're sitting very far apart because like we have a restraining order against each other.
Yeah. All jokes
aside. Could you imagine?
Yeah. Who do you think would win in a fight, me or Stevie? Oh, I'd win for sure.
Okay, like I would. Yeah, I think everyone would be scared of Nadine.
Sorry, Stevie. Know, your hair is so long, it'd probably just take one little hair pull to the wall.
And what are yours?
You'd have to put a bun.
Yeah, mine would fall out because it's extensions.
Oh. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, mine is like a quarter the size of what it normally is because of this whole baby thing.
Baby fiasco.
Yeah, your parents. The postpartum your hair things. Just falls all out.
Is it still or is it
no
to
it's better it's better now, but it's like, where did it all go?
Thin. It's actually crazy, like even thinner. If we like just get like a new client into the salon and you start washing her hair or whatever, you could like tell if they're a new mom because the clumps of their hair will fall.
It's insane. Like I just remember when we went with the horses?
Yeah, and I was kind of concerned.
I was just like, Steph, it was coming out and coming out. And then when we got there, I like threw it all out the door because Pharaoh was sleeping. So I didn't want to throw it out the window as we were going. I threw it out the door and it was like a tumbleweed going across the parking lot. I was like, someone's going to think someone died here.
Oh, no. Honestly, like you just keep making that coming. That makes me not want to have any babies.
Yeah. Literally, like no one warned me
that
much.
About that part.
Yeah.
Yikes. Well, we're happy that you're sitting here with, you still have long, beautiful
hair. I do still
have
it. But it's just like, and now it's growing back. You can see. Can you see it?
Your baby hair is there?
Maybe a little bit.
No one will ever tell that you were losing hair at all. I would I would never know.
No, either would I. But we're
in all seriousness,
we're so happy to be back.
We like rabbit trails. Oh
we
my
are.
Gosh.
Yeah. Seriously. But
people have kind of been asking us, you know, where are you guys? Is the podcast done? Like, are you guys going to record again or what's going on?
We
so
just needed a break.
What is going on?
We needed a break.
Yeah, we needed a break. It was getting to
not
a point.
That we don't love it and we don't love you guys. We just needed a break.
All were kind of pulled in like different directions, I feel like, in life. Like, and going, you were barrel racing actually decently ish this summer.
Yeah.
And then
I think you guys were probably the more busy people. Like, I was like consistently busy all year, but I feel like you guys had a lot going on. Like, Nadine was renovating the house, Stevie, obviously, raising a newborn baby.
Yes. So. Yeah. I'm actually, this is the first podcast I'm doing being a official Harmon Valley heifer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we didn't really want to make any like huge commitments, but we are back. We're toying around the idea of doing, you know, a season because obviously the winter time is a little slower for us. The summertime, you know, we all have big plans, which we do want to tell you guys about and do a whole episode on that because it has been a while.
Yes.
But yeah, so this winter we're planning to bring you some podcasts. Not going to say a number because we don't want to, you know, be super committed. We're just going to get back into it and go with the flow.
Getting back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle again.
Woo!
Yippee-yi-ki-yay!
Oh, my God.
Have you guys heard that song?
I might change that to be the very opening intro.
Yeah, I think that'd be perfect.
Is it Gene Autry or something? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I'll play it for you guys one day.
Okay, sounds good. So give us like a quick little like summarized version, like a taste of like maybe what our full episode will be on being like a new mom.
Is it what you were expecting? Yeah. Is it what you were expecting?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No?
Like, I really love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've said that from day one.
Yeah. It's harder.
You were made to be a mama.
I think it's weird. It's like not as hard as I thought it would be. But in other ways, it is harder than I thought it would be. You know what I mean?
So in what ways isn't it? And in what ways is it?
I don't really know. Like,
just going full Oprah on you here.
Yeah.
Give us.
Oh, it's definitely harder to go ride. It was easier when she was smaller and when the weather was better because she slept a lot more. It's harder now.
She's awake more.
Yeah, she's awake more. And I put her for a nap in her bed. Sometimes it's like 2 hours and sometimes it's half an hour. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, do I go out and start trying to ride? Oh, no. She's probably going to wake up in 10 minutes. And then that's when it's a 2 hour nap.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's harder that way. I have to just be like, okay, I'm just going to go out there and get saddled up. If I can't ride, okay, well, maybe I can ride at her next nap. the horse can just stand there, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stuff is harder, but I don't know.
And in what ways is it kind of, you know, easier than you thought it might be?
I don't know. Just all of it.
All of it's, yeah. I don't, like, you love it, so it's easy. When you're, yeah, when you're loving something,
it's
easy. I
think that's what it is. Like, easy. It's hard, but easy to do. It's easy because, yeah, I do. I love her. And I love being with her, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell you're, like, meant to be a mom. Like, when me and Steph, me and Steph came here, and, like, she's, like, just all cuddled up on, like, a blanket on the ground, and I just started petting your baby, like, and then I'm, like, stopped, and I'm, like, wait.
Pet her? What do I do?
Do you pet babies? I don't know.
He's like, does she walk? Goodness. Is she walking yet?
Yeah. Does she drink water? Does she know her name?
Is she sitting?
Stay down.
oh my goodness. Yeah.
But no.
It's okay. What about over in deeper in the valley there, Nadine? What have you guys been up to out on the ranch?
We're deep in the valley. We're right in the crevice, the butt crack of Harmon Valley. That's what we should call
That's true. So true.
Yeah. Oh, the house is beautiful. Like,
it
honestly
looks so nice.
Never thought we would have a place like that. Like, it was definitely extremely stressful being in renovations.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely takes a toll on you. And it was hard. Like, it was
especially
hard
when you're trying to do it all at once.
Oh, and we had, like, we were so grateful Cole's family was there. And my family came up too. And we had a crew of people every single night working on the house. So, like, I didn't get all my horse plans, like, done this summer because of that, which is, like, totally okay. Like, I'm fine with that because we just did so much. And
you needed to get her done, and you guys did.
Yeah.
You did.
And it looks amazing. It. Yeah. It's like a modern, like, farmhouse.
Modern, rustic.
Yeah. Everything's kind of, like, black, white. I do have to do some pictures, and I want to do, like, a TikTok kind of video.
Yes, you should.
But we're, like, I just want, like, everything to be done. Like, we just have, like, the absolute finishing touches left. So, and then we got our fencing in the ground. We just have to string everything up and actually get the pens built. But at least the posts are in the ground. That's pretty much her. Just Coralie's living out at his auntie's, Steph's house.
At Auntie Steph.
And Cash and Batty and Stax and Twiz, which is a new horse we acquired. They are living their best life.
I thought you were
getting
rid of horses.
I am.
But you acquired another one.
Tyrell dropped one off and Cole's just like, I guess we'll keep him. Hmm. But yeah, so just they're all kicked out into the quarter. So
nice. Okay, pause moment.
What?
What's on your nose?
Okay, you guys.
What is this?
It's a nose ring.
I've never seen it.
It's a fake nose ring.
Is it really?
I like it.
Okay, I ordered these fake nose rings.
But because, is it really fake?
Yeah, it's actually, I can take it out right now.
Oh,
and
cool.
So I ordered a fake nose ring from Shein because I was like, okay, like, I am not super committed to getting one. Like, I don't know because I hate my nose. So I just wasn't, why are you looking at me like that?
Why do you hate your nose?
I hate my nose. Like,
it's
I
so
just,
nice.
I think it's a long nose.
It's like just a great little nose. Get out of here.
No. Yeah, what is
I've always hated my nose. I don't know why. I just always thought it was like long. And I wanted it to like turn up a little bit like more. Like, I don't know.
Like Pharaoh's.
Yeah. Her nose is perfect. And so I like got this fake one to put in. And then I'm like, oh, like I actually feel like a different woman with a hoop nose ring in.
Did you have it in when you got here?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like so small that it's like,
yeah, you can't really tell.
Yeah, it's but it looks cute.
It's dainty. So yeah, I think I might actually get it pierced even though my mom will kill
me. Man, I was just thinking, why not just do the fake ones?
Yeah. And you can rock it or you can not.
And then you don't have a scar and you can just take it out at night. Yeah, so that's what's new with me, I guess.
Okay, like, cool. Nadine has a fake nose ring, you guys.
It's supposed to be real. Everyone,
it looks. Totally I real. Thought it was real.
Yeah,
I'd rock the fake one.
I would. Yeah.
Oh, I have 20 in a pack. Do you want one? I'll give you one.
Oh yeah, we should all wear.
I had mine pierced twice, and then
what? Really? You had a nose ring?
Yeah, yeah. I never had the hoop. I just had a little gem. But
oh, I can't picture you with one. You don't even have a scar, do you?
I don't. It might be there if you look close, but cover up, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So now, neighbor, what's going on with you? You got like super cool horse plans on the way.
Yeah. I actually did manage to downsize a little bit. I sold a broodmare. I sold Ricky. But then
what did you buy?
Nothing. I haven't bought anything.
Yeah, you sold Ricky. And you bought a Beamer.
Oh, I bought a Beamer. Yes. Oh, yeah. I guess like since we've recorded.
Man, we have like, we have not told them anything.
Yeah. There's actually like a lot going on, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess. I had two babies this spring. You've probably seen them on my Instagram. So yeah, they're so cute. And I'm really excited for them. I actually have a 2-year-old. Like she'll be turning 3 in the spring. She's going to go for training with Marie Ockren to get broke this winter. So hopefully that'll be my little project for next summer, and then just rodeoing on Ray. But yeah, like rehabbing her all summer because she had surgery, which that's like a whole episode on its own. And then just like my regular jobs, doing books, selling seed, and
you're the crypto queen.
And crypto. I've been so obsessed with cryptocurrency and like learning how to trade and investing in that, and like any spare minute. Like I haven't even listened because like I am a podcast fan. But like I haven't even been listening to podcasts just because I've been like so full pin on YouTube that so behind on podcasts because I'm just like been learning all about crypto. Like I follow channels that like go live twice a day. So there's always stuff to watch. So yeah, I want to also have like a full episode on that. So that's like a little tip of the iceberg, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a Bitcoin for Halloween.
I was Bitcoin for Halloween. I had an orange suit and the Bitcoin logo. Hey, no, all my horses like that I am going to purchase from all my crypto gains are going to be named after like cryptocurrencies.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
There's so many different coins and like weird names that like aren't even actually named. So I'm pumped about that.
That's so cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Big plans here. When you get like all this money and you're like so rich, I know you're gonna buy a goodbye lane.
Yeah.
So like what do you want on the bottom side?
That I don't know. Something proven. Yeah. So a mare that's like a really nice mare. Something that
a
like,
mare that's a really nice mare.
A mare that's like steps are good minded, moves nice, and has either produced some like other winners, like so we know she's a nice, nice good mama, or maybe was like really fast herself.
But like would you want like if I had run, all the money? Or would you want like cow?
It'd be cool if like on the bottom it was like a combination of run and cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like primarily run, but I like today when I backed the horse trailer up to teach my little babies how to load, the one with the cow bloodlines like didn't even look twice. He just followed me right in the trailer with no halter. I'm like, okay, you're the sweetest thing. So I do really like that. I do like that too. I do like JD, a little teddy baby, and he's looking so nice. That's
so nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to have a good old visit with our ride or dies, and we just got to sit on this mic for so long and talk about our whole summer and our goals and our plans and our buck offs and our near death experiences.
Wait, our buck offs,
the hospital visits,
one person's buck offs.
Can anyone guess who it might have been?
Not me.
Oh my gosh.
But no, we had such a crazy summer, you guys, and we're gonna just leave it at that.
Be prepared for like a 3-hour podcast.
Yes, we're gonna
have a two-parter maybe.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a two-parter, then we'll have maybe a Ride Tribe episode so like everyone can like hear what like our girl squirrels are like
girl squirrels.
But the girl squirrels.
We weren't the only ones with an incredibly exciting summer.
Yes. Good job, Steph, keeping us on track here.
So yeah, we weren't the only ones with a very fun summer. If you've been paying attention to barrel racing at all, you know that Vanessa Salisbury has also been having an amazing summer. She has been a Futurity and Derby money earner. She's won pro rodeo money. She's the 2021 Breeders Elite Futurity Sweepstakes champion. That's our new incentive here in Alberta where there's some big money up and we can't wait to check it out next summer. She was also the Runaway Reserve champ, a round winner at the Big Bang CBHI short goal qualifier on 2 different horses.
And she's the one who introduced me to Coralie. Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah. Ever since that we've met her, she just was such an honest and great person to buy a horse off of. And she's actually going to be taking Coralie for another 3 months. So I'm super excited to see what she'll do with him. She is such a talented rider and like just an overall great competitor. Big smile on her face. And like I said, I bought a horse off the girl. And now I feel like I could like tell her like my deepest darkest secrets. So
Vanessa, get ready
to be on the Horse Sport Podcast.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
We're so excited to be chatting with you today.
I'm excited too.
It's about time.
Yeah, right?
About time we get our butts in gear again here.
Stevie's not sick this time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's been a crazy year.
Such a crazy year.
Especially for you. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to talk all about it.
Me too.
And Farrow hasn't decided if she's like settling in for the podcast or not here. So you might hear Farrow.
You know, yeah, I had plans. She's going to go to bed at 7, but you know.
She was like,
what's that law that it never happens the way you want it to happen?
Is that Murphy's law?
Oh, yeah.
Murphy's law. It adds some character.
So yeah, good. Exactly.
One sec, I got a burp and then. Okay. You're good.
We had a burping contest yesterday. What? We watched Elf.
And
we
I love Elf.
We all chugged a Coke and then had a burping contest.
Who's we all?
Like a family event?
Yeah, so me and Landon and Robbie. Who and won? Some of the kids. And Landon, or Robbie's dad.
Oh my god.
I think Robbie's dad won.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good neat little tidbit of the day.
That's awesome. I love that movie.
Sorry, another rabbit trail. Sorry, yeah, guys.
So I had the absolute privilege of meeting Vanessa because she introduced me to my dream horse. And I was so excited to like obviously meet Coralie and everything, but I felt like I really resided with you, Vanessa. Like it was so easy to buy that horse off of you, and you were so honest. And I am now going to be a return client, and Coralie's going to come and spend the winter and spring with you. So very awesome. Excited to have you on the show. And
yeah, that was kind of the first connection. And then I was just saying to the girls too, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad it's Vanessa on, because since then, you know, we ran into you here and there and we've already chatted, and we thought this would be just such a natural, fun conversation.
Yeah.
Well, thanks you guys for having me. I'm really excited.
So are we. So yeah, like typically we start and kind of ask our guests how they first got into horses. So where did your journey with horses and barrel horses start?
You bet. Well, actually I was 4 and I really wanted a pony party for my birthday. My parents weren't into horses, and we lived on an acreage but no setup for horses, and they worked in healthcare, so nothing like that. But I just really wanted a pony party, and so my mom decided to find a local business that hosted pony parties. And sure enough, the pony there was actually for sale. And my mom decided, well, why not? Let's buy her a pony. So aww,
that's awesome.
So cute. Best birthday
ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I actually kept that said pony until she actually... 2 weeks ago, she passed away. She was like 35, I think.
Oh my goodness, so, ponies.
Yeah.
They're so...
They go forever.
Yeah.
She was a rotten little thing, but yeah, that kind of started it all for me. I stuck with her. She was a little 10-hand Shetland pony, and she tried to buck me off every single time I got on her, and I would
classic.
Yeah, like I'd see everybody on bigger and like nicer horses, and I would be like, Mom, Dad, I want one of those, and no, you're stuck with what you got. You wanted this one, so you're getting this one. And I just made do. I went to like little English Western pleasure shows with her, and then I did some jumping with her, like the small jumps.
Yeah.
And then I took her to game days, and that was kind of what started it. And then eventually I got too big for the 10-hand pony, and just kind of worked my way up to my horses that I have now. And it was nice growing up, because my parents never bought me a finished horse. We didn't have the money, and they just the horse that kind of started changing the game for me, she was a, we bought her as a 6-year-old, and she had a really good foundation on her. They kind of started her in the reining and whatnot, but no pattern on her. And we spent like $6,000 on her. And, to me, that was a lot. And my parents were super excited, and I just made do. And she actually ended up running some mid to higher 17s in Pinoca. And,
nice. That's so
cool. That was kind of in my high school years, and just made do with her. So it was nice. I had to learn as I went.
Yeah. And so growing up with like parents, I kind of relate to this a little bit too.
Same.
Like parents that like weren't really into horses. Like how was that a challenge? But how is it also like positive too, because I feel like it is, you know, it's kind of a good thing, and it teaches, you know, you really have to, everyone in the family is learning. Exactly. Everyone's got to learn quick too.
My dad's like, what are these horse show things? Why are you in every single class? Like,
yeah, well, it was kind of funny. Like, of course, my dad is like, kind of businessman minded, like, mm-hmm. nope, this isn't going to be profitable and we don't need to be spending money on horses. And then my mom was very free spirited and like, we're going to make it work. And if this is her dream, then we're going to support her. And yeah. So it was good. But I mean, pros would be the fact that everything was new. Like I wasn't set in my ways and I wasn't stubborn because I was always the new kid on the block. Like, mm-hmm. I was always open to learn because I didn't have parents who told me, well, this is the right way right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of, I love the fact that I've just always been open-minded and kind of humble, honestly, because I look up to everyone who have grown up with parents who have been in the industry. And I think that's kind of where that may be unfortunate, is where I wasn't able to grow up watching my parents ride or like having the experiences that some of these girls have, which is amazing, but at the same time I just have to work with what I've had growing up, and I'm very thankful for that.
Do you owe any of your success to any particular mentor that you had growing up, or someone that you really like to shadow under just because you're such a handy rider? So like, where did that really come from?
Oh, you know, I can't pin it on one person. There's been so many people that I've learned from, and like spent time with Julie Leggett and Ross and Digger Hansen, and I moved out here and worked for Ronnie Swales for a year, and just so many people who have, even if it's been one piece of advice that have changed kind of developed my specific style today. But honestly, this past year, I have to owe a lot of my success and mental success to Carol and DJ Woodward. They kind of took me under their wing this year and just helped me tremendously. And it wasn't just with the horses. It was with, like, just help believe in myself. And there's this quote that says, someone believed in me once, and that made the world of difference. And that's seriously what they provided me. Like, they just kind of... They said, if you have the work ethic, you can do it. Like, you don't need the money. You don't need the family backing you with all these horses. They're like, if you have the work ethic, just go do it and don't make excuses. And they were hard on me, but they were also so supportive. So that really has been a game changer, because I think the mental aspect and who you surround yourself with is so important.
Our friend group up here is so supportive. I feel like we definitely surrounded ourselves with great girls to get through like the tough times. But I also reached out to you when I had a tough time. So I feel like you also have such a positive outlook and mm-hmm. like get back in the saddle and like really put my mind at ease when I was like going through a really rough patch, like with my August-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that is so, you need people like that in your corner, because it's so easy to talk yourself out of things.
Yeah,
it definitely is. But I also find like you need somebody who's going to put some responsibility on you. Like, you can't just have that supportive friend who's going to say, like, I need somebody who, if I'm saying I want to stay in, I'm going to stay in tonight because I'm just feeling kind of tired. Like, I need somebody who's like, don't you want to make that finals this year? Don't you want to run that?
Yeah.
Like, don't you want to win this maturity on that horse? Like, yeah, like hold me to what I've said my goals are, because that's also important. It's not just important to have somebody support you and talk you up. It's important to have somebody hold you to your goals and hold you to what you're saying. Because if I'm saying I want to get somewhere, well, I'm not going to get there by sitting on my ass in my house.
Yeah.
So.
Horse isn't going to ride itself.
That's true.
So I find that's like really helpful. And it's that's the same thing. Piece. Like when you're going through something like you went through, Nadine, it's like, you can't just sit around and feel sorry for yourself. You got to think, okay, what can we fix and what can we do to make it better? And then you go from there.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is pretty much exactly how you worded it to me. It was like, it wasn't like, oh yeah, just let Cole ride him and whatever. It was like, no, like you're riding him too. Like,
yeah.
You're getting back yeah. on and yeah, Cole can ride him, but you're going to go and be like the good guy for him and Cole's going to be the bad guy. I like haven't exactly. really shared. Yeah. I haven't really shared the story on the podcast and maybe I will like a different time, but yeah, no, yeah. You definitely like still made me accountable to like get back on my horse. And Steph did too. Like Steph, like I remember the one day I was like, I'm just going to lunge him. I don't really want to lope. I think I'm just going to trot. And you're like, yeah, no, you probably
and,
should.
Like, just trot for longer then and then lope.
Yeah. Yeah,
and exactly. Now smooch, put your outside leg yeah. a little bit behind and go.
Trot really fast yeah. and he'll get into a lope. so true.
Yeah. So like going back to that, like, you know, you had these people that kind of just made you realize if you want something, you got to go for it. So what does like your day to day look like and how do you make it work? How'd you go for it?
Tell us everything.
It was a crazy year. Well, yeah, last winter was kind of going through some things. And for me, like when I go through some things, I don't hermit. Like I'm like, okay, I dive Keep even busy. More into my work and yeah and my goals and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be even better than I was last year this year. And so that's really like I have a place in Claire's home here and I'm on my own and my family's back in BC, so I just have to make okay. it work and I have to pay my bills on my own. And so I have a full-time mm-hmm. job. I work at a bank
okay.
and I ride outside horses anywhere from probably I like to keep it under 7 horses that I ride a day.
So, okay, I seriously totally thought that you were like a full-time like horse trainer.
That's, no, man.
That's
she's
what
like,
I, that's what I thought. Honestly.
She's a
yeah.
hard worker. When she told wow. me, she's like, yeah, no, I work at the bank. I was like, man, yeah. like how, like what, do you sleep? Like,
not much. No, for a lot of nights I didn't sleep. You know, I do too. Like I would, unfortunately, like the arena here in town, they rope every night from 7 till 9 and I get off at 5. So by the time I get home to get horses, I wouldn't really get everything roped super good before roping. So what I'd do is I'd go in the mornings, I'd wake up super early, get in there for 4, get everything rode before work, or maybe most of them rode before work. And then I'd go and ride the rest after work. And just kind of, I remember there's a little bit there where I kind of overbooked myself. So on my lunch, even I'd go and I'd rotate them through and I'd lope one in the school field and on my lunch and go back to work. And I survived off a lot of bagels and Pepsi that year.
Oh, yeah.
That winter.
Wow.
Yeah. No time to yeah. cook. Who has time for that?
Yeah.
No, right? No. I mean, too much work for one person anyways. But
yeah,
it just kind of, you make do and you, I mean, it's pretty exciting because I did move out to Alberta wanting to do the horse thing full time. And I'm actually, come the new year, I am moving to full-time horse training because I worked my butt off. Yeah, I mean, I worked my butt off for that year and I was able to, you know, pay for a new truck, pay for my truck, pay for my trailer, make a name for myself. Mm-hmm. And now I can kind of get to that goal. But that being said, like, I think where people go wrong is they think you can get there right away. And it was like, no, like that was a year of, I did not have a day off. Like it was a year of hard work. And sometimes it's longer than that. I mean, I have been working at it my whole entire life, but that was, you know, this year has been the year that everything's just transformed for me. So
totally. When did you move out to Alberta?
In 2017. It was kind of funny. Like, this will kind of tell you the kind of person I am. I was working a really good job for a finance company, and I really wanted to move to Alberta. That was always my goal. And I saw that Ronnie had posted a job offer, and I had my good friend Natalie Kosterman, and she's really close with Carmen, who's close with Ronnie. And anyways, they kind of put in a good word for me. And 2 weeks later, I packed up all my stuff and I moved out to Ronnie's, and I had never met her before. Didn't know what the job entailed. Didn't know what I was getting paid, but I was going.
There was horses involved and barrel racing. So.
And it was Alberta, like compared to the coast in BC. Like it was an opportunity I couldn't say no to. And I was thankful my parents were 100% behind it. And so I lived with Ronnie for a year in Mossley, and then I moved to Claire's home, and I ended up buying a place here. So Nice. And I knew there would be a little bit of a transition period. So that's why I got my job in town. And I thought, you know, I'll just keep picking away at my own horses, and one day I'll be able to do it full time, the horse training. So it's pretty exciting that my vision is slowly coming together.
You are an inspiration.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
Congrats on everything.
Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of your own horses, tell us about the horses that led to such success for you this year. It was so exciting to watch you run both of them.
It was a pretty amazing year. I love the Judge Cash horses, watching Julie with Ice. I just love the style that horse had. And I remember I was talking to Cassandra Shendrick and Linda Jensen. They live in Williams Lake in BC, and they have a horse broker's business. And I was like, I want a really well-bred horse. I can't afford a finished one, but I can put, you know, a decent amount down on a really well-bred like colt that might show promise, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, we'll keep an eye open. And I said to Cassandra, because they breed their own horses too, I'm like, do you have anything? Like, will you please tell me one of your prospects? And she hummed and hawed, and she's like, well, just come up and take a look one day. So my mom and I hooked up the trailer, and this is when I was still living in Langley, and we headed up to Williams Lake one day, and sure enough, there's this gangly 2-year-old by Judge Cash, and out of taking on a bully mare that Sierra Stuckel now owns. And I was just like, yep, I love this one. His feet toed out, and he was kind of gangly looking then. I mean, he still can be now, but the way that he moved and just his quirky side to him, I'm like, that one's going to be a winner.
Oh, cool.
So, got him, and I started him on my own, and then he was tough to start. Holy, like, you had to watch yourself. He was pretty quirky, and he was kind of bronky, and he'd like to get you when you put your foot in the stirrup for the longest time. And I just kept on him and kept on him, and eventually he kind of just, his quirks went away with some very, very wet saddle pads.
So, you start your horses yourself as well?
Yeah, I have. I send them to Tristan Wolseley just because he makes my job so much easier. He can get them so broke in 30 days. I can literally lope them on the pattern when they get home. But I have, like, Jax and my 5-year-old, both were started with me here, so.
Yep. Okay, and the guy we're talking about now, so his barn name, that's Jax, and what's his registered name?
Mito Judge Jackson. Okay, so cool. He's my 8-year-old gelding, and
he's so cool.
That's the one. He is so cool. Like, he's just he's so deceiving. And that's honestly why I bought him as a 2-year-old, just because of his movement. Like, he's just so deceiving. He has such a big moving stride, and I knew he'd be efficient. So I missed his maturity year just because he wasn't ready, and I wasn't going to push him. He wasn't, he was only Western Fortune's incentive. So I didn't want to rush him into anything, because I really wanted him as a long-term rodeo horse. So missed his maturity year, and then ran him his 6-year-old year, his first derby year. And he was really good. He came on pretty strong. He made the short rounds at CBHI, and he ran a 17.4 to tip, but he tipped. That was our first barrel I've ever tipped on him in the short round. It was a little bit sad, but that's okay. It was still, it kind of showed me that, okay, he's going to be cool. So, and then when he was 7, I derbied him, and he had a lot of success too. And, but this year he just really come into his own, like, kind of had to figure out his routine and what he needed and what supplements he needed to stay strong, and got that routine down, and he just came on strong and stayed strong all season. So it was pretty cool. Like, Riley McKenzie had posted a comment on one of my Facebook statuses, and she is so true, that one run can change your entire season.
Yeah.
And that the run that I made at the Runaway was that for me, that he was a 17.2.9, and we got second, and ever since then, they're on both horses. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find it gave you like a little boost of confidence, or were you like, you know, lit a fire, or what do you think it is?
It gave me that confidence to know that, okay, I'm doing something right, and I just need to trust. You just go jockeying horses and being in training mode. Like,
yeah.
If it's not pretty, but if it's that, it's going to win me money.
Yeah.
So just kind of got out of my head in that run, which helped, and it just gave me me a little bit of confidence to pull my permit for the rodeos. And but yeah, no, that run just really changed it all for me, just knowing that my horses could do it and that I could do it too, that I could be the jockey that they needed to be the most successful. So
yeah
and then I have my five-year-old.
Yes, tell us about him, because I liked watching you on him too.
Yeah, he was super cool. He was kind of I had Jax, and I was like, you know, I should probably have another one up and coming. And I'm like, I'll probably flip him, and I'll buy him and maybe flip him. And so I, of course, my go-to is always go to Cassandra and Linda first. And I'm like, what do you have for prospects? And she sent me a couple, and I saw Austin, and I was like, yep, I want that one. Send him over. So I bought him sight unseen, and he was Super Stakes and Western Fortunes and CBHI. The only thing about him was he was coming four, and he was not touched. Like, he hadn't been rode or anything, really. Oh, yeah. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm taking a chance, because some four-year-olds that aren't touched can be pretty salty. Mm-hmm. So when I got him, he was just a sweetheart. Like, right from the first ride out, he was just a pleaser. Like, he wanted to be so good every single time. He just learned so fast. And
that's what it must be, a relief. Hey, when they feel like that, you're like, oh yes.
Oh yeah. Oh, like, every time I'd swing a leg over, I'm just like, oh, it's gonna be a good day. Like, it's gonna be a good day. It's gonna be a good ride. So it gave me hope that I wasn't gonna be behind for his maturity year, because he just had such a good mind. So it was pretty cool. Like, had him started in probably February of his four-year-old year, and then probably by the 90-day mark, I was loping the barrels on him, and then just kind of camped on him over the summer and tried to get him a little bit more seasoned, like took him out to places, and kind of started running the barrels a little bit faster, and started taking him to jackpots probably early, like January, February, so his five-year-old year. And he was just probably his fourth jackpot. I think he was fourth in the 1D. So
wow,
he was just, yeah, like, he came on strong and he stayed there.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And yeah, he definitely blew me out of the water, just given that he was winning races, and he hadn't even had a year's worth of riding on him, pretty much. So
special from the get go. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. And he's just so easygoing. Like, that horse, you could put a kid on him. Like, I would trust a baby on him, literally. He is such a babysitter, and he's just so kind. So that's so refreshing for me.
So they're bred similarly, right?
Yeah. So Jax, my gray, is by Judge Cash, and then Austin is out of a Judge Cash mare.
Okay. So do you find that they're, like, similar to run, or do you find them, like, quite different, or?
They do have similarities. They both have a very big stride. They do have good, calm minds, actually. I mean, even though Jack started out really waspy, he actually has a wonderful mind. I really enjoy that about them. But mostly their movements, they might not look like they're going super fast, but they stop the clock somehow. So
they are fast. Yeah.
Very fast.
Yeah.
Fast and efficient. That's what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very efficient. So, and they're not really, like, to me, they're more free runners. Like, I wouldn't call them push style. So that's kind of another similarity, is they want to be pretty honest and just run to their spot. And they're none of them really want to get short on me. So that's nice.
Yeah.
So we've been talking so much about the success you had this year. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this year and, like, what you, like, accomplished, and maybe some of your favorite moments?
Yeah, I mean, the runaway was pretty cool, of course. And then the runaway happened, and then 2 weeks later was the Breeders' Elite. I think it was 2 weeks later. was the Breeders Elite, and another big check was up for grabs. And I remember, it's kind of funny, like sitting at my trailer, and I'm like, you know, everybody has a time to win. That is something that I truly believe. Like, everybody has a time to win. And I kind of told myself, you know, if it doesn't go how it's planned, that's okay. Because 2 weeks ago, I just won 10 grand. So
yeah,
I was like, I still want the win, but I'm going to be okay no matter the outcome.
Yeah.
So I just had a clean slate. I took the pressure off myself and went into the Futurity there, and my 5-year-old ended up winning the first Breeders Elite that they had, and for
so cool.
23,000. And I think I ended up taking, I ended up taking home 25 grand that weekend. So that was pretty cool. Like, mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing about that win for me, which made it even more special than the runaway, was the fact that I just had two different horses have major success. And yes. to me, that's what makes a good trainer, is somebody who can bring out success in multiple horses, not just one. I mean, that is good too, don't get me wrong. But the fact that I had two horses that were working really well really just gave me that confidence that, again, I was doing something right.
No doubt. Well, yeah, congrats to you on a huge weekend, like at the first Breeders Elite. And shout out to the Breeders Elite for giving that opportunity. Like, that's so awesome.
Yeah, we need that in Canada. Like, we need to be bringing those big races, because our horses are just becoming, like, the horses that we're breeding in Canada now are becoming so strong. And I think it's about time we start to recognize the breeders and the stallion owners, but the breeders too, the ones with the mares and the ones who put in, you know, extra hard work to get us these horses. Because I think a lot of times we get so caught up in the studs, but the mares actually produce so much of the qualities of colts. So I think it's pretty special.
It is. Yes.
Man, can we just like fast forward to January? Like, I just want you to have Coralie like yesterday. That's all I'm thinking about. Excited. That's all I'm thinking about.
So yeah, that's a good segue into your training program.
Yeah. What's on his plate for the 3 months with Vanessa? I'll let him know.
Oh boy. Well, he will get a little bit of everything. If I get down south, he'll come to a pile of jackpots. Maybe I'll rope on him a little bit.
Okay, I really want him to get roped off of, like, big time. So do you offer that? Like, do you offer, like, a little bit of roping training?
I wouldn't say that I offer roping training, no. But I will say that that's part of my program, is to get their mind off and do something different.
Sweet.
So, like, I won't call myself a rope horse trainer, but by all means, I'll go and rope the Helomatic, or I'll go and, you know, rope some calves on them and stuff. And
nice.
I just think that to me, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not making them a solid breakaway horse. That's not what I'm advertising. But to me, I'm making a horse that's happy in the mind, and he's solid, and he's getting exposure to different things.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. And it's also good for me, because you can only go around 3 barrels for how many times before you lose your mind.
Yeah. He quite liked the roping, though. Like, we brought him to a branding first time ever, and probably drug like 15 calves on him, and he actually was quite content doing it. I think he liked it.
Yeah, no, I find that they actually do. Like, they thoroughly enjoy a different job. And mm-hmm. even if it's just going for a day and moving cows in the hills, like, I think that's so important to do on them. And I think that it keeps them happy and keeps them healthy, actually. So,
yeah,
that's something that I'll be doing on them, and just putting them in my program every day.
Okay, well, let's chat about your program. I want to know everything.
Yeah, like, some drills. What would be, like, an overview, like, if you were to describe, like, your training style?
Yes. This is what it takes.
Well, it's always evolving, and it's always changing. I mean, you never stop learning, but I really like a well-rounded, calm, not hot horse. Like, I really mm-hmm. take pride in my horses, that they walk in the arena on 4 feet and they're, you know, they have a really good foundation. Like, I like them to be broke through their entire body. Like, I'll lope one around in frame, and I like them to have a good stop and back up and be able to move off your leg. And mm-hmm. I just really, really like that. I'm big in disengaging the hind end to get one soft and in your hand and soft through their rib cage. I think it's a trick that a lot of people should learn how to do and do it properly. But something that I really use as my go-to. But my horses aren't kept in a barn. I don't have that at my place. I have just pens with shelters, and
I find that honestly, it keeps them happy. I mean, yeah. I'd love a slicked off horse, but at the same time, I love when they are able to be out. And I'm a huge believer in turnout for horses. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how they are treated around here. They're treated like a horse. And I find that as soon as you kind of baby one, you get into problems. So I try and treat them all the same. Like they're all the same. And yeah, I like to ride them, you know, 5 or 6 days a week, but I do find some horses do better for maybe 3 days off or a day off where, okay, if you've kind of gotten into a fight with them one day and you've really drilled something into their brain, some horses work better with a day off to digest it and then go back and it's like clean slate and they're so much more willing. So that's really part of my program is I try and individualize it for each horse as to what I'm teaching them. And I try to, even though they all get treated the same, I also try to learn what they're trying to tell me how they're going to learn because they all learn differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in like, I try and understand, okay, who's going to be riding the horse after me? Because what I need to do is find a balance between how's the horse going to work its best with how it moves, how it wants to naturally turn a barrel. So I need to balance that between making the horse be its best, but also helping its owner be their best. I really like to take all that into consideration. I don't like to just make one how I would like it. I mean, I do that. However, I'm also taking into consideration, okay, who is going to be riding this horse and what would be the best for this horse and how am I going to make its turning style most efficient for him or, you know, I think that's so important.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you bet your butt I'm going to be down there for some lessons.
Yeah, I'm going
to
come too.
Well, it's so crazy. Like some horses love to be round and some horses will never be round and they'll be straight. And I just think that if you, like if a person really listens and watches the horse, how they move and how they want to work, then you can kind of bring out the best in them. So I try to revolve that around my program. Like I try and let them show me, okay, how do you want to turn this barrel or how do you want to naturally travel? And then I kind of adjust my style to them and just make it work. So yeah.
Yeah. So earlier you said like your two horses that you're running right now said they're pretty naturally like quite honest. They like to run, you know, they're not getting short on you. How do you like what are some things you do in your program to make a really honest horse that doesn't get short?
That's a good question.
Yeah, well, I think that honestly, well, people forget that horses learn from the release. So when I'm training one, I'll really try and show them where I want them to be. And then once they kind of get comfortable to where I want them or hold themselves into that pressure to where I want them, then I'll give it back to them and I'll let them stay there, like with the responsibility on them. I don't like to hold one around the whole entire turn, but I'll show them where I want them and then I'll give them that release to stay in that circle and stay on that path around the barrel. Because I think that the more release you can give them and the more responsibility you can put on them, they're going to be more honest. If they're confident in where they're going and if they know they're going to be left alone, they're going to want to go there every single time.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm also huge on disengaging the hip. I know I said that already, but if you've got one that's putting their shoulder in, Ivy Hurst has a YouTube video on it, and I saw that after I was doing this, so it was kind of cool. So I'm like, oh, I'm doing something right. I guess she does the same thing. But what I do is I'll lope them up there, and right where I feel that they're, you know, stopping their front end, I'll just grab their nose towards the barrel and just kick their hip around and then bring their shoulders around and keep them moving. So by that, what I'm looking for is for them to be soft through their rib cage and their shoulder by disengaging that hip and then keep pulling with the front end and then come around and finish the barrel. I think that's where people go wrong is they get stuck with trying to stick the shoulders out and keep their hips in. But at the end of the day, if the shoulders are too stuck out, they're going to want to dive in harder. So I really think at getting the front end, keep pulling in a C around the barrel, like bringing that outside shoulder around, it'll keep them stood up and keep them honest.
Yep. I like that.
Me too.
And so what are your some other like favorite drills that you do when you're starting a horse on the pattern or just keeping your seasoned horses sharp? Like what are your staples?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not a huge drill person, actually. I really like just I'm a big believer in consistency. And if you, mm-hmm. Like when I do the barrels, I try and do them the same way that I would run them. Like I keep everything the same. I will do the 4-barrel drill. Sometimes if I'm struggling with one a little bit, I'll just kind of do it to switch it up and kind of get my mind a little bit different as well. Cause sometimes it's us that are stuck in a box, and mm-hmm. you can kind of just change it slightly and freshen your mind and then go back to the barrels. It just helps me a little bit. So,
yeah.
I do enjoy the 4-barrel drill a lot on colts and my finished horses, but my finished horses, I actually will do quite a bit of barrel work on them throughout the season. It's not that they need it, but it might be a little bit for me too, just to have the confidence that they're staying sharp and everything. But that being said, I'll still go out and lope them in the stubble field and, you know, get their minds off the barrels, but I don't drill the pattern on them. But yeah, like my hugest belief is damage control. So every time we make a run on a horse, something might fall apart. Very rarely do we have a perfect run.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What I like to do is fix it right away. So it's out of sight, out of mind. I'm going, okay, the issue is fixed. Like if I had one go by my first barrel on a Sunday, I'm going to go right back the Monday. I'm going to just show them that, hey, this is your point. I'm not going to be mean to them, but I'm just going to show them like, hey,
reinstill.
This is your point again. This is a reminder. I'll leave them alone after that and I'll go make a run on them again. But I'm a huge believer in damage control. Like if you let something slide one time, it's going to be the second time. Then it's going to be the third time. Then it's going to be an ongoing issue that's going to take you months to fix instead of one ride to fix.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
So, yeah.
So kind of going to like the balance, I guess, of having like either a horse that's like on the futurity trail or a horse that's finished. You got jackpots during the week. You got rodeos on the weekend. Where do you find the time to like make it so that barrels aren't a toxic place or getting repetitive for them and being able to drill them, but still being able to go to your jackpots and rodeos and keeping them fresh and like wanting to keep running?
Yeah, I am. That's interesting because I've heard people say like they get horses that are become sour from doing barrel work, and I've been fortunate. Like my horses don't refuse the gate. They're happy on their job. They don't get hot. I do lope them in the stubble field, but I will say like I do a lot of barrel work on them. But that being said, I'm never really mean to them on the barrels. Like I don't drill them so much that they're hating their life. Like I just like to give them that confidence that, hey, this is the fun job. And if I'm going to school you, if I need to get after you somewhere, it's going to be off the pattern.
Yeah.
So if I was really having issues with one, I'd probably take them off a barrel and then go and school them and get after them off the pattern. But what I'd do on a barrel, so similar to disengaging the hip. If I really wanted to get after one, I'd pull them off that barrel, disengage their hip, get after them. Then I'd go right back to that barrel. So then that's their happy place.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. It just keeps my horses liking their jobs because I try and make the barrels always their point of release. Like right. I want them happy to go around the barrels, and I want to be able to just put my hand down, like sit it on their wither, and them to just stay on that circle.
Happy to go to their spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the biggest thing is just if you can learn your pressure and relief, you're never going to really piss one off by doing the same thing. I mean, I still lope them in the stubble field or go and rope the machine, but I also take them to new arenas, probably like different arenas, probably 3 or 4 times a week. Like I have my barrel patch here, but I also go to friends or I go to town, and I always like to keep it new for them, like a new arena, a short arena, a narrow arena, a long arena, you know? So
yeah.
I think that also keeps them fresh. It's a new scenery every day.
Yes, yeah. For sure.
So, do you have like a specialty or something that you really like working on a little bit more, or like that you find that you have, you know, clients more of, like first getting them going on the pattern, the futurity stuff? Do you take horses that are already on the pattern, or what's your forte?
Yeah, I absolutely love patterning horses, like futurity horses and whatnot. I love it. I was sent a horse this year, actually. He hadn't been on the pattern at all. I got him in May or June, kind of got him going on the barrels in June, and he ended up making the short round in CBHI, and it was just so cool to see the progress. Like, I just love that. I love the progress. Because I know for the first 2 months with him, like, I phoned his owner and I'm like, you know, this one's going to be a tough one to crack. Like, it might take a little bit for me to get him where I want him, but I'm like, I'll get him where I want him. Just bear with me here. So it was kind of, it's always so rewarding when you just stick with your guns and you're like, no, I know this is what this horse needs, and when it pays off. So I love the futurity horses and the derby horses. But that being said, like, I will take horses that are having gait issues or, you know, Deacon the second barrel or anything like that. Any issues, I will take those horses. But I do love showing one the barrels for the first time. I won't take colts anymore just because I just don't. Colt starting is an art.
Yeah, it is.
I give credit. Yes. Oh, gosh. And it can save a person so much time if it's done properly. So I just think that it's not my forte, and I don't need to do it. So I stay away from that. But everything else I really, really enjoy, from the colts to the finished horses.
Cool. Did you make the CBHI short go on two horses this year then?
I did, yeah. My personal 5-year-old made, I think he was 7th coming back. And then a client horse was 12th or 13th coming back. So that was pretty cool. Like, the two futurity horses that I had entered. And I think that buckskin that I ran, that was maybe his 6th jackpot ever.
No way.
So the fact that he ran 2 17-9s and an 18-1, I kind of got by my first in the short round, but I mean, he stayed pretty darn consistent for a 6th, 7th, 8th jackpot.
Yeah. Yeah. Insane. And then the short go, the energy is just a little higher too. So
Yeah, and you know, I think I'm still learning how to jockey one, and I think I should have helped him a little bit instead of going, okay, like, we'll see what he, you know, what he, I mean, he still handled it great. He just got by a little bit and didn't have that snap back that he usually has, which is fine. I mean, you've got to push the envelope.
That's what the short goes for,
yeah.
Well, that's just it. And the owners were already ecstatic. They were like, go for it. And I'm like, okay. So no, he was super fun. But that was honestly so cool for me to qualify on two horses. And I know Brandy McPhee also qualified on two horses, and to be there with someone who I look up to with two horses was so cool. It was so surreal.
No doubt. Oh, that's awesome. Congrats again.
Yeah.
And side note, I'll ask Stevie if it's okay we put her on the podcast, but Steph Workington, like, she started a breeding program here this last year, and Brandy McPhee actually just came up and took a horse home, a little filly, I believe. So that's exciting.
Oh, that's awesome. That is someone that you want your horses to be in the hands of.
With your brand on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so Stevie, so that's super exciting for her. And she left us like 5 minutes in to go put Pharaoh down, and she hasn't came back. So I don't know what's
going on. She just messaged us, and she's just like, she's just not wanting to sleep, but she's tired.
So it is only me and Nate.
That sounds like Steph on like a night out.
Me last weekend. Oh.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. So do you have any up and comers that are like, what's kind of in your pasture right now?
I do. I've got a 4-year-old by Simpatico Red. So that's the same sire as my futurity horse from this year. Cool. And Cassandra Shendrick and Linda Jensen also, they had him. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago. But all three of my horses, like up and come, or my horse from my gray and the futurity horse from this year and my up and comer are from their program. And they just are such great people. Like, they're so honest about their horses, and they truly love them like their own. So whenever I'm looking for a horse, like, I don't even blink twice. I've bought two sight unseen now that I love. I'm just like, I trust you guys. Like, if you think this is going to be a winner, then send them my way, throw them on a trailer, and we'll deal with it when it comes. So I've got a 4-year-old by Simpatico Red, and then out of a Cruising on Firewater mare. She is Super Stakes, CBHI, Western Fortune, Breeders Elite. So I'm pretty excited about her. Nice. Same thing with her. So she wasn't touched either. So she was just started in March, and she's already going around the burrows. And she was the same as Austin. She's just so easygoing. She wanted to please from day one. She's pretty gritty. She's a redhead mare, but she's going to be cool. So
Love those.
I've got her. Yeah, absolutely. I love one with try. A little bit of sass and exactly. Kind of reminds me of myself. So
we love a little sass.
Exactly. So I've got her that I'm super excited for. And then I've got two now. Kind of a funny story. My mom came out to CVHI and she was listening to, you know, when they announced who's the owners, and she was like, I want them to announce my name as an owner with you riding
it. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, there's a sale coming up. So she was all excited about the Guys Keeping the Fame colt, and because it was out of the same era as my gray gelding.
So cool.
Yeah, so I was a little bit worried, though. She got a bidding card, and she's sitting there, and she's like, well, this is my budget. And I'm like, okay, well, he's going to go over your budget, so give me the bidding card, because I don't trust you. Well, I don't trust you, and the people who own the Buckskin, they were like, oh, no, Trish, we don't trust you. They're like, give the bidding card to Vanessa. So I took the bidding card, and he was the last one in the sale, and somehow he stayed relatively in budget, and it was funny. I was getting down to kind of the final bidding, and I was playing hardball, and my mom's sitting beside me, and she's like, oh, yeah, $500 more. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Mom.
The sales are so exhilarating.
Yeah, that's awesome.
God. Yeah, so I've got him. He's super stakes and CBHI and a bunch of incentives. And then I also have a same year, so yearling coming to he is by a Streak of Fame KN, and he's out of a Judge Cashmere as well. So nice. Jesse Rooks raced him, and he is also super stakes and all that jazz. So pretty excited about those two. I know they're the same year, but
yep.
So it'll be a busy futurity year that year.
Oh yeah, super busy.
You can handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good. Now that I won't have my full-time job.
Yeah. So, okay, I know you woke up at 4 a.m. and you'd ride and then you'd go to work. But, like, how does one get their butt out of the bed at 4 a.m. and, like, do the work-life balance thing? I just feel like it's so crazy and, like, there's not enough hours in a day. So, like, what really drove that, and like how were you able to balance it so well?
Well, I don't know. No balance. You can never balance it as much as you want to, but yeah, you know, it I wanted it bad enough that I knew I had to put in the work. And that was honestly what got me up every morning. I kind of told myself I had someone who wanted to buy my gray horse at one point, and I said no, because I was like, no, I'm going to be the one to follow my dreams on this horse. Aww. And ever since then, I've just kind of been like, okay, like if I'm going to follow my dreams, then I got to get up in the mornings, because that's the time that I have to do it, and I'm going to work my butt off, and I'm not going to give myself a day of rest. And yeah, that was just kind of what kept me motivated, was to have that success that I've always wanted. And you have to want it more than anything, because at the end of the day, if you're living on your own and getting up at 4 a.m., it's pretty easy to just hit snooze or yes, turn your alarm off and roll over. But mm-hmm, every morning I was just like, nope, like my horses won't get better by sitting in the pasture in their pens. So yep, that was really kind of what drove me.
Mm-hmm. You wanted it and you were committed.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't about to feel bad about not selling my horse and then not riding him. So
yes, that's a good motivator too.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was really nice to surround myself with people who also, you know, were there for me, like Carol and DJ. If I didn't get up in the morning, they'd let me come to their place, and they have a big green lights, and Carol would have a quick dinner for me to down, and then off I'd go and ride at their place if it was nice enough. So
nice.
Yeah, it was really good. And never once did I show up there with a load of horses and was she like, well, let's just watch a movie tonight. It was like, let's watch a movie after we ride the horse.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to see when you surround yourself with the right people, like good things do happen. So
yeah,
that was kind of how I found that balance, was I surrounded myself with good people, and I just had that motivation to have a good year. And I don't know, it obviously paid off this year, so I guess I'll keep doing what's working.
No doubt. Okay, I think it was like cutting out a little bit earlier, but like speaking of which, and you know, kind of putting your mind to something and smashing goals, I believe you said that you purchased your permit
earlier too, but it was cutting out.
Yeah, I did. Nice. I had decided to buy my permit this year, and I maybe it was a big goal or a small goal to some, but for me, it wasn't like I'm buying my permit and I'm making the finals. I just said, I'm buying my permit and I'm failing it. That's all I want to do this year. And it worked out.
Yay.
I did fill my permit. So the first year that I rodeoed, I was able to fill it thanks to my good old Jack's horse. So that was pretty cool. I he had worked really good at the qualifier in Innisfail at the Calgary qualifier in Innisfail. And so I had entered that rodeo and I was up in slack and it was kind of rainy. And I was like, I'm going to just stay away from everyone because I don't want to hear about the ground. And I just did my thing. And I knew that he liked that pen already. So I knew I'd have a decent chance at pulling the check if he ran good. And sure enough, it was fast time in the slack. So I won the bouquet of roses. So that was pretty cool. Aww, and nice. And then I filled my permit in that one rodeo. I think he was third for like $1,200. So
perfect.
Cool.
Yeah, so it was pretty neat, and it was honestly just an eye opener to see my goals just kind of get checked off one by one this year. And it was fun to have success in the fraternities and the rodeos, and hopefully next year have a little bit more success in the rodeos.
Yep. So you have some big CFR dreams next year, or what's in the plans?
Yeah, I'd really like to rodeo more. I kind of picked and chose where I went this year, and I want to kind of hit them all next year. And you know, I think that so much can happen. So you have to keep an open mind. It's not that I'm going to make the finals next year. I mean, I'm going to make the finals at some point, but it's also like, I'm going to work with what's thrown at me.
Yep.
So
gotta
try for that, go to some of the fraternities, but really, really kind of focus on the rodeos next year. So I'm excited for that. I love the atmosphere of them. And I haven't really rodeoed since high school. So it was nice to get back at it this year.
Yeah. Oh, exciting. We'll be cheering you on for sure.
Oh, yeah. Big
Thank
time.
You.
there was quite a few cool events this year, like that there qualifier was. That we were just talking about. That is very neat. I hope somehow they're able to keep doing that. Very cool.
Yeah.
And the Big Bang, too. I think you had some great success at the Big Bang also, hey?
Yeah, that was a really cool weekend, too. I think I took home close to 6,000 that weekend, too, and my gray was a 17-3-0 to win the second round of the Open. So that was pretty. That was
so
pretty fun.
Sweet.
AJ put on an awesome event, and
I agree.
Oh man, the food trucks there! I probably spent all my money there.
Oh my god, the lemonade and the oh my gosh, why the Jamaican food truck, the jerk chicken.
This lobster grilled cheese.
I never had that.
Foundered myself on it. It was so good. I had to get a couple. I need to take this one home. And
I love it. That's hilarious. So funny.
Big foodies here too. We feel
you. We love food so much.
But you guys have some good places in Claire's home too. We like really treated ourselves when we were there for
every
that fraternity when you tried and bought Corley.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have some really good places. Castroma's really good, and Duro's Bar, but Roy's definitely is just awesome breakfast food. I could go there every day. I shouldn't, but I could.
Yeah, we were there over 2 weekends, so I think we tried every restaurant.
We did, multiple times.
Yeah, the golf course is actually a hidden gem, too.
Oh, really?
Oh,
nice.
In the summertime.
Yeah, it's on the south end of town. Yeah, it's really good.
So speaking, I guess, of going down to Claire's home, like I already mentioned before, I was horse shopping, got in contact with you. I know you do co-sign horses, but like coming from a
consignment,
co-sign
like a loan.
Do you give loans out on horses?
Consignment.
Vanessa will also co-sign your loan.
I mean,
such a hillbilly.
Maybe not now.
But no, so you did consignment, and coming from a buyer, like, you literally let me try Corley, I think 5 times or 4 times before I actually bought him. Like, it was multiple times, and then I just go stand there and look at him, and then I'd go back and look at him again and be like, you're coming home with me, but no one knows yet. But so you did such a great job, even with the advertisement. You always have the best pictures, and like I feel like you just really portray that horse to the best of its capability. So is that something that you're still offering, our consignment sales, and how does that work?
Yeah, I definitely do still offer consignment. I really like to have the horse in training or know of the horse, like have a good grip of kind of how it works and everything, just to find the best home for it and have the best understanding of how it works. I actually really enjoy consignment because of the connections you make. And I mean, you always run into people who maybe aren't happy, but at the end of the day, when I take a horse in to sell, I treat it like my own. Like, I want it to go to the best house or best home possible, and to the best match possible. And mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that I really like, is you hear of people being, well, that person's a horse trader and that person's this, and it's like, that's not true, because a lot of people actually do consignment because they thoroughly enjoy matching horses with the right person. And that's mm-hmm. that's yeah. how I feel. Like, I like giving them the best opportunity possible.
Yeah.
And I truly believe in, like, how you show a horse on social media is huge. It's how you capture people's attention. And, you know, if you've got a quick cell phone picture while the horse is blanketed or while their feet are not trimmed or anything,
the best, like, are the selfies, like people with their horses, boy. Like that. It's just like like, are like the grad dresses with like their horses, like those are my favorite. I'm just like why?
$20,000 yeah. $20,000 with a selfie with a horse.
Yeah.
So I mean all the power to you if it works, but for me, I really value you know, a professional photographer coming out. I've got a couple friends who have been amazing. It's just a blessing that I have those people in my life who will come when I'm like, hey, I need pictures right now because the lighting is perfect and I've got this horse and I need to have it listed for this weekend. So, but I do that. And, I have that program, and I take a little bit of commission off of it, and it's my monthly fee because the horse gets trained. Just like everything else, it's in my program because, you know, horses will come in and they might need a little bit of help or they might need a little bit tweaking. And,
yeah.
To me, they're in my program like every other horse. They're not just sitting there and they're not getting shown, you know, once a week and only rode that once a week. They're getting rode just like everybody else. So that's kind of how that works. And I love making the connections. Like, I've made so many friends through selling horses. And the biggest part that I love is seeing success. Like, I sold a horse to a little girl. They trusted me enough that they bought him sight unseen. And he has won her, I think, a couple buckles now, all in the first year that they ran together. And I was straight up with the mom, and I said, you know, this is his specialties. This is where he struggles. And I'm like, you know, if he doesn't work out, send him back. And it's so rewarding to see it when it all comes together. And, and now the horse and the little girl are living their best life. So it all works out then.
Yeah. No, I definitely felt that, like, you were definitely looking for like the best compatible partner for Coralie when I was there. 100%.
And like, I try to think about how I would be. So if I'm trying a horse and I'm maybe not sure, I'm like, no, I need to ride it again. Like, 10,000 or 20,000 or 30,000 might not be a lot to someone, but it could be everything someone has to someone else. Right. Mm-hmm. So I try to never judge it off of that. Like, even if a horse is 5,000 and you want to come back and try it, well, that could be all you have. Like, absolutely, you want to come back and make sure that you're wanting to spend all your money on this horse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, you get the tire kickers that sometimes you're like, you can tell, and you do have to be firm and say no, but you also know when the people are serious and they're like, I genuinely like this horse, but I just need to come ride it one more time. And that's kind of how I felt with you, is you really liked him, but you're like, just let me come see him and come watch him run. And then let me kind of learn how you were riding him. And, to me, it makes sense. Cause that's a big jump for, you know, a horse that's also got their style already. And it's nice to know that you're confident going into a purchase, not wondering, well, is this the right one? Like, you should be happy. You shouldn't have buyer's remorse.
Exactly.
Buying and selling can be a bit of a tough experience. And it just
a way to,
especially barrel horses.
you had some interesting experiences buying and then selling too. Like, yeah, like you said, just the tire kickers and this and that. Like, it's a lot of work getting the pictures. It is, and yeah, like a service it like this makes it easier for some.
Yeah, it does make it easier.
Not for you, but for the other people.
Yeah. it can be hard because I love it when it all pays off. But sometimes when you do get those tire kickers, or you people can be harsh, and you have to have thick skin when you're doing that, because people will say something and you're like, I love this horse. And they will just make you feel like that horse is no good. And you just have to know what you have, because some people use that as a bargaining tool. They will make things up about that horse that is no good. And then all of a sudden they'll give you a low ball offer and you're like, I thought this horse was no good to you. Why are you even offering me anything?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The way you're describing it, I should be taking it to Fort McCloud. So, you know, it's just, you kind of learn the tricks of the trade as you go, and you just learn as to when people are being tire kickers or when they're genuinely like, hey, I need to come try this horse one more time. And I try to make it easy for everyone, like the owners that have the horse with me and the buyers too, because the biggest thing is like, I don't want that horse to sit around for another month if somebody comes up and is like the perfect fit, but they can only afford a little bit less. Like, to me, I'm going to vouch for my client and I'm going to vouch for the buyer, because at the end of the day, either the horse stays with me and you pay me more money, or, you know, you find the perfect home and you take a little less, but it all balances out. So that's something I try to never be greedy for myself. I try and look out for my client and the buyer and the horse's best interest.
Yeah. Yep.
I told you this at CFR, but I put my butt in a Woody saddle. So I want to hear about like your experience with Woody saddles and maybe a little bit about the company, because I know you really stand behind them. And yeah, maybe some of your favorite go-to tack bits.
Yeah, for sure. It was pretty cool because I could only afford, like, honestly, it was a Corianni barrel saddle, and I didn't mind it. It was $1,800 brand new, shipped to my door. So it was what I could afford at the time for the longest time.
That's what I got.
Like, you do what you have. Like, you work with what you have. And at the end of the day, like, I didn't mind it. I had a lot of success in the Corianni too, but I got spending time with Carol and DJ, and never once did they say anything about Woody's. And that's something that I really respect about them. They answer my questions when I ask, but it was never like, you should be riding a Woody's. It was always like, DJ actually told me, yeah, that Corianni fits your horse decent, you're all right. And I had so much respect for that. But I ended up borrowing a friend's Woody saddle because it fit her horse the best, and I had that horse with me, and I started riding in it, and I was just like, oh my goodness, like, this is night and day. Like, this is a well-made saddle and I need one. So, I ended up saving up enough to buy one, and that's all I'll ride now is Woody's. I actually just picked up a ranch cutter from them that I've just like riding in every day, and it is so awesome. It just sits you where you want it, like puts my feet where I want it, and they're well-made, and I really value how Terrell and DJ run their business. They're family, a local family, and they are awesome people. And I really like supporting that kind of family. So,
I feel like they got to be hardworking folks too, because you always see the Woody's trailer. I'm assuming that's obviously them at like all these events, and they are going hard the whole time.
No, they are so hardworking and humble people, but they've also had a lot of success with horses and whatnot, but very humble and very you know, they also look out for the best interest and people in their horses, so they'll never oversell you or undersell you. They'll always just help you, and that's something that I really value. So love my Woody saddles. Like, even then, when my one saddle fit Jack's good, and it fit Austin too, but Austin could have been R3, and I said, well, I can't afford a second one right now. Like, is this going to hurt him? And I love the fact that it wasn't, you know, you get those salespeople who, well, no, you need this saddle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely need this, or you need this bit, or, you know, you get people who want to shove everything down your throat, and no, he was like, no, use this pad and you'll be fine. Or, you know, yeah. do this and you're going to be just fine.
Yeah,
exactly. And I love how they explain everything. Like, they just break it down so it makes sense, and they never make you feel dumb for asking a question. And, it's pretty vital to me to have a good saddle now. I mean, I still keep my Corianer around if I have something that's a little bit uneasy that I'm not sure of, because I'd prefer them to wreck my Corianer than my Woody.
Yeah.
So that is strictly a Colt saddle now. So big on those. And then honestly, for bits, like, I love to school on an O-ring snaffle. I just really value that. Like, I'm a firm believer, and I know bits will ideally help bring out their strengths or, you know, support their weaknesses. But if I forget my bit, I better hope they're going to run in anything that I throw in their mouth. So I try to not make them, you know, dependent on one specific bit. I know them, how they work. I've talked to Dave Elliott lots because he's local around here. So I've been very lucky to have the understanding, but, you know, I try to be handy enough that I can get by with what I have in the horse's mouth at the time. Because you don't need to be heavy handed to get by one. So,
yep.
Yeah. And most of my tack, like head stalls and whatnot, come from Western Outfitters. They are awesome. They actually own the buckskin horse that I for charity this year too.
Oh,
and
cool.
they're from Chilliwack in BC, and they're also a family raised business, and they're awesome people. So I love supporting them. That's kind of my go-tos.
So, okay, when I was doing just like a little quick research here, we were doing our intro before, and we usually, you know, say some of your accomplishments and stuff. And I went to like your recent training post, because I know you had some of them on there. But what I didn't see, and I was watching ABRA finals, I think, you know, at work in the office. I got ABRA.
You're always watching barrel racing at work in the office.
Or whatever. Yeah, those are the days I really like having an office job with my mother-in-law.
Yeah, at the farm.
So I'm watching that, and they had some really awesome commercials done up of like just a few like highlight jockeys and stuff throughout the year. And I know at that time, like ABRA was in August, and I'm pretty sure like your commercial had, you know, it said you had 40K in earnings, like just from like May or June or something. So for our American friends and stuff too, like, I just think it's so cool how now we do have more incentives these days, some bigger events where like some big money can be won.
Mm-hmm.
So can you fill us in on like what your, what that number was this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
brag you up.
Pretty cool. Oh, it was just so surreal. I remember I struck at the beginning of the year, and I sold mine and I upgraded, and I was like, well, sure, here goes good, because I'm gonna be paying for a truck for the next 10 years of my life. So, you know, to win that 1,000 put a good dent in it. And then once I got the 25 at Breeders Lead, I put that all on my truck, and I think that was combined with selling my last truck, and those two, I had my new truck paid off. And then once I did the futurities and ABRA finals, I actually ended up buying another little living quarters trailer, and it was just so cool. Like, by the end of the season, I had over 60,000 won.
Whoa.
Wow.
And I was able to make myself debt free other than my mortgage, but I try to not think of that as debt.
No.
So
it's equity.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just keep saying that. So yeah, it was pretty cool to be able to have the opportunity in Canada to win that big money and not go far from home. I mean, it was so surreal to be able to literally make a living off entering futurities and barrel races and rodeos.
It's like the ultimate barrel racer
dream. I've always, I remember towards the end of the season, I was like, well, I need money, so I got to enter that spot race. And I had that much faith in my horses by the end of the season. And I never overran them, but it was so cool to have so much faith that, you know, they were going to help me if I was tight on money. Well,
yep.
I know for a fact, like I believed in my bones they were going to do good for me. And mm-hmm. they pulled through for me all season long.
Oh, I love that.
You're such an inspiration, and I feel like I'm so excited about this podcast. Like, you're so well spoken. I know
you
just
could like run for rodeo queen if you wanted to.
Oh, I might not succeed at that.
Yeah, no, just an awesome, positive outlook, hardworking. Yeah, Kate, everyone can take something from this episode for sure.
We've been bringing her up. We're gonna have to do the embarrassing story now.
Unless Stevie
actually just came. Yeah, Stevie just came to the door. I know you don't know if we ask these questions, but do you have any questions for Vanessa?
Oh my goodness, I don't know. Yeah, I just
walked back in here.
Yeah, I have no idea because you probably covered everything.
Well, throw a question out there if you feel like it.
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot.
Did you do 4-H? Did you do 4-H? Did you have to do the impromptu public speaking?
I did.
Oh, I hate it. You guys, that's the thing. Yeah. I don't even know how I'm on this podcast because that was my least favorite thing when someone's like, hey, impromptu. I had to do it in English class too. And I'm just like sweated the whole time. 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's not my forte.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing pretty darn good then for a winging it podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited to listen.
Okay.
Me too.
Hit us with that embarrassing story.
Oh, I think we're breaking up now.
What? You're pretty clear on our end.
Oh, boy. Well, I do have, I'm trying to think. Like, I do have one that it was 2013. So I think I was 17. Actually, yeah, I was in my teens, and I was at a barrel race and out like away from home, and I had forgot to pack underwear. Anyway,
that sounds like my life.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I was at this barrel race, and you never expect to have to cut your pants off, but anyways, I'll get to this chase. coming off third barrel, I honestly don't remember because it was a pretty big wreck, but something happened. My horse beaked or bucked or something. I honestly don't remember, and nobody got it on video, of course, but somehow ended up wrapping my pelvis around a post at the end of the arena.
What?
I got second in the 1D, though, so it was good. I was past the time.
Past the time, that's all that matters.
So, I ended up shattering my pelvis, and they had called an air ambulance and everything, and they ended up bringing the ground ambulance, and I was pretty, like, I had a lot of adrenaline. I was in a lot of pain, but I was also, mm-hmm. like, wired. Yeah. And I remember the paramedics were like, we're going to have to cut your pants off. And I just remembered. I'm like, you can't. Like, there's probably, like, 20 people around me, and I was like, all of a sudden I was like, no, I'm fine, I can walk. And they're like, no, like, you cannot move. And I'm like, nope, I'm good, nope, don't cut my pants off. I'm like, I am totally fine, I am shattered, but I am fine, I can't feel my legs, but I am fine. And they're like, what is going on? And like, I was freaking out, and I was like, I don't have underwear on, like, I totally forgot, like, I'm like fresh in the morning, like, I have nothing on, and there's 20 people around, and I'm like, this is not happening right now. Like, this is a nightmare.
So, maybe Nadine can learn something from your story.
Oh, God. That, yeah.
it was bad. And then, oh, gosh, I was talking to a girlfriend today, actually, and it's funny that I chose to say this story because she was telling me, Natalie Costerman, she was at the hospital with me because I was there for a week, and I was so hopped up on like oxygen and everything and morphine, and I was not reacting good to it. And I remember, like, I'd always have people rub my feet because I couldn't feel my legs really still, and I'd always want to know that, like, can I still feel my toes, like, do I still have feeling? So I'd always make everybody rub my toes, and I guess every time I talk to her, she always reminds me, she was like, I guess I was sitting there and I was like, how many toes do people have? She was like, you have 10 toes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have too many toes. And I guess I was just like beside myself, like freaking out. And she was like, to this day, oh my gosh, she's just like, so how many toes do you have, Vanessa?
That's, and I'm
like,
so funny.
Not too many.
That also that sounds like awesome. Steph on a Saturday night.
I mean, it's an easy mistake. Like, yeah. Not a question.
So like, so what so, was yeah. what was the outcome of that? Like, you had a shattered pelvis. Did you need surgery and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It was pretty bad. Like, it was pretty close to a major artery, like in my back. Oh, wow. So they had to be super careful. And I ended up going into for surgery, and I've still got the plate and screws in my pelvis there. Mm-hmm. But they were like, it's going to take you 3 months to learn how to walk. And like, wow. Learn how to walk again. And I was like, well, I've got finals in 7 weeks. Like, we got to make do. And they were like, no, like, you got to take your time. And I literally told my mom, I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm running in finals. And so even though my mom was like, no, you're not, but she knew she didn't have a choice other than to support me. So anyways, I did a lot of physio, and they thought they were going to have to keep me in hospital for longer than I did. But they're like, if you can walk up these stairs, then we'll let you go. So within 7 days, I was out of hospital, and I rode in finals.
I feel like
I got underwear on that time.
You did. Yeah, with underwear.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely underwear. And yeah, that was quite embarrassing. So moral of the story is always be prepared, because you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, man, I feel like I've never learned my lesson. Every time I've ended up in the hospital from a horse, I've never had underwear on.
I was going to say, you said you always forget your underwear, but I think that you purposely
don't. No, I actually just don't own underwear.
She
just
doesn't. Exactly. Like, you don't forget it. You just don't.
I just say that because I get a little embarrassed, because people are like, well, how do you not wear underwear? They're like, oh, I must have forgot it. I don't own any. But yeah, no, I like... The nurse, Steph was there, was like, your friend isn't wearing any underwear. Like,
how uncomfortable is that with jeans on?
I don't know. I don't
You're
feel
so
anything.
Weird.
And then,
I mean, it's not a regular occurrence for me. I genuinely forgot mine. That was
okay.
What makes it so bad.
No, I've never had a problem. But yeah, that's no. Funny. Definitely, like, well, after that one barrel race and that girl's horn hooked on in her pants, and like her
yeah,
Megan, Megan's actually started wearing underwear after that, because she was worried about that. But
Steph, do you wear underwear?
I do. I am
okay.
Faithful,
you're normal.
I'm a
you're normal.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
oh,
happy boy. We got that clarified. We're all sitting here wondering.
yeah, definitely be prepared.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Barrel racing can be pretty wild, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're pretty wild women and wild horses.
Yeah,
so do you have any sponsors you'd like to shout out at all before we head off the podcast?
Yeah, well, this year I was so blessed. I mean, obviously my family has been an amazing support, and my friends have been there for me all season long, from delivering meals and to my door when I didn't have time. But to me, like, that's part of my team. Woody's Custom Saddles, of course, they have been amazing all season long. They've been a friend, and they've given me amazing gear to work with. Also, Hewitt Equine, and with Dustin Hewitt, he massaged my horses all season, and he was super good. Like, if I was at work, he'd come and he'd work on them, and you know, like, he's so good with the horses, and he just kept them feeling good, and it definitely helped. Miguel Lambert is my farrier, and he has sponsored me this year. He was awesome. You know, he let me kind of be like, hey, I want to try this, and he'd either be like, yes or no, and he'd tell me the reasons. He is the best ever had, so really nice. Thankful for him. And then Western Outfitters, of course, they are awesome. I've known them since I was young, and they've always just helped me with horses or gear or anything. So they're based in Chilliwack, BC, but they ship everywhere. They are a great family, so you have to support them.
And their prices are pretty good too, hey? Like, they're very reasonable.
Yeah, very, very reasonable. Yeah, and they have a lot of stuff and a lot of variety, so definitely something you want to check out. And then Undeniable Equine Services, she has been amazing. All my horses on the belly bun that she has, and it's honestly, I think it's been my saving grace this year. Like, my horses get hauled a lot, and The weather fluctuates here in Claire's home, so they help keep their stomachs healthy, help keep their weight on. And she has a little a business in Langley, and she's got a water treadmill there, and she does massage and all that. So you definitely have to check her out. She has supplements that she can ship out, or if you're in Langley and you need a horse worked on, she should be your go-to.
So
that has been a huge help. And then I also have a friend who does she has a company called Bucking Bead Co, and she makes bunch of essential oils and bracelets and whatnot. And she's also been a huge help for me this year. But the biggest thing is all her essential oils. They, you know, it does get a little bit stressful when you're trying to balance all that. So she'd always be like, try this one, or if your stomach hurts, try this. So she's been a blessing as well. It takes a whole village. So I'm definitely very lucky to have mine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for chatting with us tonight. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You betcha. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you again sometime soon, I'm sure.
Are you going to come with me to
Claire's? I might just hop in with Nadine and come ride.
Are you going to go down Lawson Ride?
Well, actually, it depends where in the world he is.
In the world.
If I go to Arizona, you might just have to fly down to Arizona.
Well, yeah. I did tell Cole that too. And he's like, where do you expect to get all this money from? I'm like, well, I don't know. Start getting back on some bulls. But definitely, if you guys, our listeners, are looking for anyone to do consignment or training or whatever you need, Vanessa's your girl.
Mm-hmm. Hardworking girl. Yeah. You know your horse is in the program. She gets up at freaking 4 in the morning.
Well, thanks, guys.
Okay, Vanessa, can you take us out of this podcast?
Get rich or ride shine.